Welcome back to the Viking Update Show. We talked about the first round draft picks in our last show. We will recap the entire draft, retouch on how the top rounds went, but get a little bit more into the depth and where this team stands as is right now. Again, this is the Viking Update Show, part of TalkNorth.com. Please subscribe to your favorite podcast app to listen to this show. It's the easiest way to listen. It's also free. Go to TalkNorth.com, find other shows you like, subscribe to those. Again, it's easy and it's free. And it's great for our network. We do appreciate you helping us grow as much as we have. John, of course, is from The Athletic. I'm Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Brandon Morton is our producer. But we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank Defined Destinations. We want to thank Twill and the Edina Galleria and TSR Injury Law, 612 TSR Time, Nas Reed. Definitely check out the John Krasinski Show on the Timberwolves and their playoff run. It's been great stuff all along. And it's never been more interesting than it is now because of the way the Timberwolves are playing. I had one stray thought that we didn't get to on Friday, last time we talked about the first round, John, and that is the fact that Justin Jefferson was texting back and forth with J.J. McCarthy. Pretty good sign. He's not considering leaving, signing elsewhere, forcing a trade, or anything else.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to put it. You know, and really, let's face it. I mean, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah has gotten even more and more vocal about this is what's going to happen. We're going to pay him a ton of money. He's going to be here for the long term. And I think that when you see messaging like that backed up by interactions with the receiver and his new quarterback, it all points in the direction that this is going to sustain. That, you know, that they are going to figure something out. When you see some of the other contracts that have been going to receivers lately, you're looking at it and say, man, Jefferson is going to get absolutely paid and he deserves it. So that all is going to happen. It seems like, I did think that, you know, last year it was a little risky to not get something done last summer, but everything seems to be going forward that way. And Jim, when you get a rookie quarterback on your roster, that maybe he's going to start week one, or maybe it's going to be, you know, week one of the following season, it opens up a lot of financial flexibility for you. And that changes the whole dynamics of paying a receiver when you're not paying your quarterback enormous money.
No doubt about it. I think two things about this draft. Number one, if J.J. McCarthy becomes a very good quarterback or better than that, this draft will be considered a success. And if he doesn't, this draft will be considered somewhat of a failure. But I do like the logic of these picks. We don't know who's going to be good, who's going to be bad, who's going to be injured. It's hard to project. That's why so many draft picks miss. But we can judge rationale. And the fact that they got a quarterback they liked without having to throw in another first-round draft pick, fact they are able to use that other first round draft pick to position themselves to get a very good, what we think is a very good edge rusher. If those guys are good, you have an offensive anchor and a defensive anchor, two most important positions in football. We know they need cornerback help. Their next pick, fourth round, they take a cornerback who looks like he can play. He has size, he's physical, runs pretty well. Who knows? Cornerback's a hard position to project, but he looks like he can play. And then they got some linemen and a kicker. Later on, it's not the perfect draft. You'd like to have more picks, but this draft, more than Kwesi's other drafts, feels like it makes some sense.
Yeah, there wasn't something that happened, you know, during this weekend where you're like, why in the heck did they do that? What is he doing here? Maybe it won't work out. Maybe J.J. McCarthy won't be any good. Maybe Dallas Turner will get injured. Maybe any of these guys will just, you know, not be able to meet the moment for whatever reason. But like you said, I think the key, and I think what Kwesi needed, was a draft that you could follow the logic and you could see why they're picking the players that they did, where they could potentially fit, that there's an overall plan and a vision for where they're going. I think that those were things that were lacking in the past with his drafts. And sometimes maybe it felt like he was trying to get a little too cute, maybe to show how smart he was or how different he looked at things. And it ended up not working out very well for him. This is slightly more conventional approach to things. That doesn't mean it's going to work, but at least you can look at it and say, yeah, I understand this. I get where he's going with this. And when you have drafts that you can understand or that don't make sense, they have to work out. Like you have to be able to look back in 2 to 3, 4 years and say, okay, hey, I didn't see it then. I see it now. He was right. I was wrong. And we can't say that about his other drafts right now. So at least, you know, going, if we 5 years from now, we turn back and look at this draft, and if it didn't work out, it won't be like, oh, I can't believe they did that. This was stupid. It was, you know what? I know why they did it. At the time, this player was highly rated. This team, it seemed like it was feeling fitting in very well, all this stuff. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. But I think that that's important for this regime, like needed something like this to just solidify a little bit and say, okay, let's kind of stop trying to, you know, be the smartest guy in the room and just start trying to pick good players that make sense for where we're at. And I think they did that a lot this weekend.
How do you feel about them taking a kicker in the sixth round?
You know, in the sixth round, I don't mind it, honestly, Jim. If it's the fourth round, if it's the third round, those are the times where it's just like, come on, guys, like, what are we doing here? You can get these guys anywhere. But the sixth round, to me, I think like the hit rate on players in that round and in the seventh round is a lot lower. When you're in that spot, you look at the players drafted right after Will Reichard, right? Or Reichard.
Reichard, yep.
Yeah. You look at, you're not saying, man, they really messed up and didn't grab this tackle or this, you know, safety or this or that. Maybe they will. Maybe eventually that's the way it plays out. But I don't think it's as big of a deal for sixth round. I think that you can justify that if this kid turns out to be your everyday kicker and a really good player, like that's going to be fine. I don't love spending draft picks on kickers, but a sixth rounder, I'm not too bad about. What do you think about it?
Yeah, that's the way I feel. I think there are two times when you take a specialist in the draft. One is if you just think the guy's going to be a superstar. You know, once again, it's like picking a quarterback. If the guy's great, nobody's ever going to second guess your pick. They've had trouble with kickers. This guy had a great college career. He also kicked in a very high pressure environment against NFL talent. Expectations, you're going to make every kick in that program. So I kind of like it. And because the other reason you draft a kicker or a punter is you get to that spot and you say, we really don't love any position players here. You know, if we did, we'd take them. And if we're not going to take a position player we think is worthy of this pick, why not get a kicker who might solve your problem in that position for 10 years?
Yeah, I think so. And look, the guy that they grabbed sure looks like a good kicker. You know, we understand like that these guys can be fickle, like hockey goalies. You know, they can be unstoppable or, you know, nails for in college or even for a year in the NFL, and then they can just flame out. Or like the Daniel Carlsons, they cannot get it early and then turn into great kickers. So it's definitely a fragile position. It's a hard one to evaluate, all of those things. But, you know, if you do feel really strongly about him and you figured that you didn't want to wait till undrafted free agency because you might be up against a couple of other teams and you might lose out on him, you know, go for it. And like you said, if he becomes your everyday kicker and becomes a reliable guy, not like he doesn't have to be, you know, the Vinatieri, but if he just becomes a guy that you can have for the next 5, 6 years at least and is reliable and hits some big kicks for you, it's going to be more than worth that investment of a sixth round pick, probably more so than you would have got from anyone else that you took at that spot. You know, I'm open-minded to it, just given especially, you know, the uncertainties around the kick game that they have, you know, going into this season. If you're going to play a style of game where you play defense, maybe, you know, you hope to score more points this season and have another good offense, but you figure you're going to be in some close games. You're going to need a kicker to knock them to win some games for you. And if you think this guy can do it, let it fly.
Yeah, and one more way to look at it is we know that the hit rate on sixth round draft picks is very low. Most get cut. Some make it to the practice squad. A few end up being backups. Rarely do you get a starter in the sixth round. It does happen, but it's not something you count on. Kickers actually win and lose games.
Yes.
You know, make it, you win the game. Miss, you lose the game. So it is a game. It's a position that gets, it wins championships and gets people fired.
Absolutely right. I mean, I know it's like, it's very easy to discount it. It's very easy to lament it, just given, you know, yeah, how fickle they are and kind of how there can be a revolving door and at that position. But when you get a good one and you don't have to worry about it, just think about like how much easier the Vikings' life would have been over the last 40 years if they had really reliable kicking, you know, in any stretch of, let's even just say like the last 15 years, you know, ever since Ryan Longwell left, you know, like just having someone in there that you just, you know, you can rely on, man, does that take a lot of pressure off of the situation? And man, does that make you feel better? And it can change the way, not only it can win games or lose games for you just from whether the kick goes in or not, it can change the way you call games, like, and how you approach game ending drives and things like that. So it can really have a big effect that I think sometimes is overlooked.
No doubt about it. All right, let's get to more Viking topics, but also the division, maybe even the league here. Oh, we are coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want you to know more about Aquarius Home Services.
Scott for Aquarius Home Services. Making your life better is a huge priority for us at Aquarius. It may start with providing worry-free water or heating and cooling systems you can trust, but there's another very important reason. Aquarius is family-owned and operated. We work hard to earn the right to be recommended. That means upfront, no surprise pricing, providing a five-star experience, and treating your home and time with respect. And knowing we're just a click away at AquariusHomeServices.com.
John, tell us about Define Destinations.
Looking to spice up your adventures? Well, you're in luck. Meet Define Destinations, your local tour company based right here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area with over 25 years of experience crafting unforgettable group tours. At Define Destinations, they're all about making travel easy and oh so exciting. Their 2024 lineup is jam-packed with epic destinations and experiences that are hard to find on your own. From the sun-kissed shores of Croatia to the pasta paradise of Italy, they've got you covered. Plus, they include airfare, tasty meals, and must-see attractions. It's like a vacation jackpot. You'll also want to stay tuned for a sneak peek at the 2025 trips. Trust us, you don't want to miss it. Ready to turn your travel dreams into reality? Hop on over to DefineDestinations.com to check out all the incredible destinations waiting for you. Make some memories and shared experiences with your friends and family in addition to meeting new friends. DefineDestinations.com.
My friend Scott Dayton, Scott Dayton's Twill in the Dyna Galleria, wants to know that spring has arrived at Twill. They've added Samuelson to their family of brands. They have great brands. They also have a new collection of casual and dress clothing in the store from all of their favorite vendors, and they find vendors that you have never heard of before. Whether you're going to go on a trip to a warm weather destination or you simply want to get ready for spring in Minnesota, Twill is your one-stop shop for everything you need in men's clothing. Golf courses are opening soon. Get ready with the new spring items from Peter Millar, Johnny O, Grayson, and Shoes, K-J-U-S, Shoes. They have great stuff. Pretty much everything I wear that doesn't make me look like a slob is stuff I got from Twill. I love the fact that I'm soon going to be wearing the shorts I bought there, the golf shirts, the shoes, and of course, I still have the beautiful tailored suit that I wear to special events and a sport jacket that I love. I never even wore sport jackets before I saw this one in Twill. Now I wear it all the time. TwillMN.com. Sign up for their email notifications. They won't spam me to death. They'll just send you something when they have something specific to let you know about. I also want to thank a longtime sponsor, TSR Injury Law, 612 TSR Time. It's all you really need to know. Two words, right? Nas Reed and, let me do my math. What is that? Seven numbers. 612 TSR Time. If you're injured, call 612 TSR Time. They'll take good care of you, or they'll send you in the right direction. They don't charge you unless they win your case, and they win lots of cases. All right. So how do you feel about the division now, both this year and in the near future?
Well, I mean, it's funny. Like, you know, I think for the last several years, it's been one of the weaker divisions in football, and I think it's really becoming one of the stronger ones now. I mean, obviously, the Detroit Lions graduating from absolute doormats to very formidable is a huge change in the dynamics of this division. Now you look at the Bears with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and everything they've got going. Whether or not they're ready to really step forward this year, they're going to be harder to play. The Vikings getting their quarterback, getting Dallas Turner, their defense is going to be much better. You have Justin Jefferson coming back. They're going to be good. The Packers are always good. I'm sure they had another good draft, and Jordan Love is looking like he's ready to kind of take that step forward. And so I think this is going to be one of the tougher divisions in football all of a sudden, which is not good for the Vikings if you're looking in the immediate short term. I mean, I think that I can foresee a situation where, you know, they go into this season and Sam Darnold is the starting quarterback and they decide that, hey, we want to give JJ a red shirt year, and you want to just let him kind of learn the ropes and ease into this and make sure that, you know, they're doing right by him development wise. And then Sam Darnold just isn't good enough in this division and they finish fourth. Like, that's a real possibility. I also think that the defense could be so good that maybe they can push up into, you know, second place. I still think I like the Lions the most in this division. But a lot of things have to break right for the Vikings to be in contention. And I think a lot of things have to break wrong for them to slip to the bottom. But I think that all of those scenarios are on the table right now for them, just because it's a very strong division right now. And it's going to be a slog here going forward for the next couple of years.
No doubt about it. By the way, I was reminded again the last couple of weeks how powerful disinformation and propaganda can be. No, seriously. It's like we see it in the political world all the time. We see it around draft time. But I kept on having people who I think of as knowledgeable sports fans, intelligent people, come up and say, oh, are they going to trade for Justin Herbert?
Yeah.
No, it's not even a remote possibility. It's an impossibility. They're not going to do it. The Chargers aren't going to do that. And his contract is untradeable. It's not even a thought. And yet people actually thought it was going to happen. The other thing that...
Hey, just one second, Jim, on that point, like, to show like the thirst that people have for this stuff, one of the driving forces of that rumor was Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown. Like, he was putting that stuff out there, and people were saying, like, oh my gosh, like, this is, you know, hey, John, is this right? Is he onto something? Like, what are we talking about here? You're actually taking anything that dude says with any kind of a grain of truth to it. It was just stunning to me. But that's just in the draft and in the lead up to it. Everyone believes everything they possibly see on the internet, and that's how crazy it got.
And here's another crazy one. I had Viking fans telling me, the Vikings are getting like a third round draft pick for this year's draft, right? The Falcons are gonna penalize.
Right.
And I said, no, that's not going to happen. First of all, we don't know what the NFL is going to do. My first guess is the NFL, some Friday night in the offseason when NFL reporters are all on vacation, they put out a statement saying, the Falcons have been fined a six-round draft pick, you know, in the 2025 draft. And they just bury the story and move on because they don't really want to get into all this stuff. But to be fair, at least in this one, there is some chance that the NFL will punish the Falcons at some point. But do you think it would be significant? Do you think it would actually benefit the Vikings in any way?
Yeah, I just don't know, Jim, is what I would say on that. I know, like, there was speculation that, hey, Kwesi could trade all of his picks next year because they're going to get compensatory picks and you're going to get rewarded with extra pick or two or whatever from the Falcons for the tampering. And I don't know. Like, I find it hard to believe that the NFL would dock them a first rounder or a second rounder, even a third rounder for something that I assume happens all of the time, across league. Now, could they get a fifth rounder or sixth rounder? Maybe, you know, maybe a fourth at best. But I'm not expecting some sort of draft pick windfall to land in the Vikings' laps because of this incredibly big scandal. I think it was, you know, it certainly was acknowledged. I know that Pro Football Talk is trying to make this out to be like Watergate, but I just don't, I can't get too excited about it. I don't think that, I mean, there may be a crackdown, there may be something that comes the Vikings way, but certainly I'd be surprised if it was significant enough where you looked at it and said, oh man, well, what were we ever worried about Kwesi giving up picks to move up in the draft for Turner or for McCarthy at all about? Because look at what they have now coming down the pike. I just don't see that happening.
I do think they could end up with some compensatory picks. I also think they have an incredible amount of salary cap space freed up for next year where they can fill needs with veteran free agents. But here's my view, and if I'm wrong, I will admit it. I don't think the NFL wants to get in the business of legislating, or I guess punishing teams for tampering or talking to free agents when they know that all these rumors, all these teams trying to be aggressive in free agency is one of the great drivers of popularity in their sport. So I could see a slap on the wrist. I'm just not sure I see anything that's going to make a Viking fan celebrate.
Yeah. And I mean, especially like, you know, this was the Vikings were letting Kirk go. Like this wasn't a situation, I don't think, where, you know, the Falcons came in and said, you know, and did something to convince a quarterback that was absolutely going to stay and that the Vikings absolutely wanted to stay to leave like that. I just don't think that the tampering was that effective in this case. I think he was going to go for the money, whether or not there was that overture or not. And so I just think this is something wholly different than signing Joe Smith with a contract under the table. Like, I just do. And that, you know, that was circumventing the salary cap and just an egregious thing that, again, I think other teams did at that time, but the Timberwolves just got caught for. This one, I do think other teams do it. I think the Falcons maybe just got caught. But I don't see it as the same sort of, you know, really impactful, devastating thing, nefarious thing beyond the normal kind of business that happens around free agency that is kind of accepted out there.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Another fascinating trend, we saw it play out in the first round, we saw it play out even in other rounds. I mean, we know it's an offensive league, but good Lord, I think the first 14 picks were offensive players, six quarterbacks in the first, whatever it was, 13 pick. I mean, it's amazing how much of an offensive league this is.
Unbelievable, Jim. And I think the Vikings benefited too, because everyone really did expect Dallas Turner to be gone a lot earlier, right? And so I think as he slid down the board, as all of these offensive players kept going, at least pushed Turner into a range of draft picks that made it possible for Kwesi to pay a price to get up to 17 to go get him. I don't think he could have gotten up to 11 or 12 to get him. But he got down to 17. Maybe he would have even gotten a little bit further, but it absolutely benefited him. But it was shocking to see like the way that it all played out that way. I guess, though, it shouldn't be shocking, right? I mean, the way that the game continues to be tilted in favor of offense, with every rule change going against the defense, with so many, you know, things that go toward the, you know, the importance of the quarterback and all this, it does make sense that teams are recognizing that and saying, look, we got to go where you win games. And, you know, the idea of winning games defensively anymore is kind of outdated and would seem to be an anomaly if a team did that. So it's loading up on offense. It's grabbing as many skill position players as you can. It's getting the alignment to protect them, to protect the quarterback, and going for it from there. That is the pathway toward winning at a high level now.
No doubt about it. Let's get a final thought from John. I'll also add a final thought. Again, thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thanks to our sponsors. Thank you for listening. Again, if you like the show, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's easy. Check out Michael Russo, Jeff Diamond, Roy Smalley and Lavelle Neal, John Millay, Mike Grimm, all of our sports, the Dawn of Sports, who's Dawn Mitchell's doing a great job with her podcast. Lindsey Young from the Vikings will be on this week. We've had people from Minnesota Aurora. We've had everybody from Jim Cott to Mike Tirico to the people who got the Aurora going. So check out all the shows. We do appreciate it. And again, if you like the show, please subscribe. Final thought from you today, John.
Can I just tell you that I've never found Sean Payton more ridiculous than yes. I did this week. And I have never been one that has ever been enamored by Sean Payton ever at all. And I know that he is a public enemy number one around Vikings land for his role with the Saints and Bounty Gate and all of those things. But I found his sort of decorum at the press conference kind of puffing his chest out about what he may have or may have not have done for Kwesi Adofo-Mensah when he ended up with Bo Nix at number 12 when he could have gotten Bo Nix at 37 probably, was just egregiously vomit inducing. I just like, and I heard Justin Gard say this on KFAN the other day, and I totally agree with it. Like, now I want Bo Nix to fail. And I have no idea who Bo Nix is. He might be the best guy ever. He might be an awesome dude. He's been through a lot, long career in college and all that stuff. But now, because of the way that Sean Payton kind of, you know, acted like he was the smartest guy in the room and all of this stuff, and duped the Vikings into it, and then, you know, and then kind of peacocked about it, I hope that Bo Nix is the worst quarterback that was ever drafted in the history of the NFL. Like, that's where I'm at right now with it.
Yeah, and I guess I would offer a version of that. I don't care about Bo Nix one or the other. I hope Sean Payton fails.
Yeah, right.
He is smug. Listen, very good coach. He also got very lucky that they got a Hall of Fame quarterback because he was injured and the Chargers gave up on the guy. Does Sean Payton have some degree of, does he get some degree of credit for helping Drew Brees? Yes, but I think Drew Brees would have been great in all kinds of different systems for all kinds of different coaches. But Sean Payton is a smug, smarmy, unlikable guy, and I do hope he fails. I hope the Broncos fail, and I'd say that even if he was saying this about some other team other than the Vikings.
Yes, exactly.
My final point, I don't think the Falcons even had to tamper with Kirk Cousins. All they had to do is tell him, listen, you've always wanted to play with Michael Penix Jr. We're going to make that happen.
Oh, I love it. Here's the one thing I'll say here. You're exactly right about it. The one thing I will say in Kirk's defense here, where, you know, everyone's saying, well, why is he so stunned? And you know, this is the business of it. I have a very hard time believing the Falcons saying, well, we didn't know this was going to happen. We loved Penix, but we didn't know he was going to be there. And then we had to take him once he was available. There is not a mock draft in the world that had Michael Penix going before number 8. Like, not. So, like, that could have been something that they told Kirk about a little bit earlier. Like, hey, we really like this kid. If he's going to be there, this is a real possibility that we're going to take it. Instead of just telling him right, you know, a minute before, that's fine. But the irony of it, you know, the business of it for, you know, one of the guys who has played the business of the NFL as well as anybody in the league, kind of getting it, you know, coming and going a little bit. That was something to behold for sure.
No doubt about it. Thanks to John. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our sponsors. We appreciate it. It's going to be a fascinating offseason, fascinating upcoming season, and we want you to enjoy the Timberwolves playoffs. So definitely check out the John Krasinski Show on our network. We'll talk to you soon.